cinema, na.
God is knocking at your door. See, there is somebody that can never get out of your knocking. Anytime God
is wherever you are, talk to the Lord right now.
And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was.
We lay our crowns before you, and we bow before your throne.
Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 from verse 21. The Bible says, and the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. Verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones. Can you read with me verse 23, 1 to 3, go. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Verse 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Glory. Verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Hallelujah. Today's service has been titled Bone of Bone. How to choose a life partner. And we want to look at the major considerations regarding making this choice. Is a very important part of our life. I know that there is a temptation to look at marriage, love, relationships as less spiritual, but it's not true. Are you with me? There's a temptation to look at those things as not spiritual enough, but it's not true. Somebody said, don't preach about marriage, just preach Jesus. Well, if you are preaching Jesus, you have a lot to say about marriage, because Jesus said a lot about marriage. Amen. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in the first book of Corinthians, spent a whole chapter talking about marriage, singleness, divorce. The whole First Corinthians chapter 7, a chapter that has verse 51, verse 52, talking about love and marriage. So we are not more spiritual than Jesus, right? Can we come forward? If there's an empty seat in front of you, you can. And I saw you come forward. Hallelujah. So, what are some of the considerations in choosing a life partner? First of all, I want to. No, don't. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want to address the first consideration about God said, you are my wife. God said, you are my husband. I want to talk about it properly. I know that we mentioned it a little bit in the first teaching that we had on this love series. So I want to apologize now. It is obvious that we cannot finish the teaching series on love. Are you with me? So I plan to go on YouTube to finish it last week. But you know what happened? My wife gave birth and that changed all my plans. So it couldn't work out that way. But you're my husband. Already we have established that dramatic visions don't guarantee a happy home. Are you with me? And then we gave examples in the Bible, Adam and Eve, that people supposedly say that God brought them together. They had challenges that they had to walk through. We also talked about Acts chapter 13 from verse 2. The Bible says, God said unto them, as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. So even though God separated them and they began a ministry journey together, we see later in Acts chapter 15 from verse 38 and 39 that they had a misunderstanding that resulted into their split. Are you with me? So we use that to establish that dramatic visions do not guarantee a happy home, but there's more to say about it that we did not say that time, and I'll kick up from here. Number two, it doesn't have to be spectacular to be supernatural. So for the fact you did not see an angel shooting a love arrow into your heart from someone does not mean that God is not involved, because many people feel like their marital choice is less spiritual if they did not have a vision or if they did not have an encounter. You know, somebody said something, I'm just waiting for God to show me my wife. And I was like, how do you want God to show you your wife? He said, I want God to show me my wife in a vision where I see the Lord standing and saying to me, look at this picture, this is your wife. Or look at this picture, this is your husband. And as much as we would desire that, that's not exactly how God leads. It doesn't always have to be that way. So a good example is Joseph in the Bible. Please, are you with me? If you were Joseph, you will have more questions than answers. Are you with me? God showed Joseph two dreams. That, you are going to be a prominent leader and your family members are going to bow down to you, or they are going to recognize your authority or God's lifting in your life. But after those two visions, there is no record that God showed Joseph any other dream again. Do you realize that? There is no record again after those two dreams he had in his father's house. No record that God showed Joseph any other dream. Instead, we just see a series of events unfolding. And to Joseph, he may have even felt he was cursed. So now God tells you that your brothers are going to, you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, 11 stars bowing down to you, your 11 brothers bowing down to you, and it all looks like, okay, they are going to bow down to me. But now, they sell you as a slave. You go to Egypt. You begin to work for Potiphar. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce you. You refuse. And then she accuses you of sleeping with her. Now, it looks like his life is going down the drain. Are you with me? It looks like a downward spiral. And God did not try to vindicate Joseph. God did not try to vindicate Joseph. Hey, God. And from there, if that was not bad enough, he was sent to prison. All this while, no more dreams, no more visions, no more encounters. Are you with me? He may have thought that maybe there is something wrong with me. What's going on? But unbeknownst to him, it was the hand of God, the providence of God working behind the scenes. Are you with me? It was the sovereign hand of God working behind the scenes, orchestrating God's original plan. So, for the fact he was no longer seeing dreams as recorded in the Bible, does not mean that God was not working. In the day-to-day events and the situations and the circumstances happening, God was working, bringing his plan to pass. Somebody say amen. Amen. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say, if God wants you to marry someone, he will ensure your path cross. And even though there is no spectacular, dramatic event around it, God may just be orchestrating your steps to meet the person he wants you to marry and get married. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
God will ensure your path cross and that there is close proximity between both of you to develop a friendship. And what seems like an ordinary encounter could just be God walking behind the scenes. I thought somebody would say amen. I think I know what is happening. The problem is, I started this sermon on a spiritual high, realm of the spirit. And now I'm talking about carnal things. Don't mind me. Hallelujah. Number three, on this, God said, so and so person is my wife. Do you know that in the Bible, there is almost no biblical precedence for God choosing a wife for someone? apart from the popular notion that God chose a wife for Adam, who else did God choose a wife for? Who else? And now don't go and talk about Hosea that got married to the prostitute Gomer. Now, even that one, Hosea was a demonstrative prophet, and demonstrative prophets are those people who God uses their lives as a prophetic template to show what he was doing in the land of Israel. So for instance, Isaiah's own was even very dramatic. God told him to strip himself naked, carry a wooden bar around his neck for 3 years and walk around Israel. Those days, before you call yourself prophet, God truly must call you. So he will walk around and he was declaring that this is how the people of Israel will be stripped naked and will carry the bonds of affliction and slavery if they don't yield to God. And eventually that's what happened. That's how they got into slavery. And same with Hosea. God was trying to use him to declare to Israel his undying love for Israel, that no matter how much they wander away from him, like Gomer was wandering away from Hosea, he will still go after them. And even that one, God did not tell Hosea to go and marry Gomer. God told Hosea, go and marry a prostitute. Hosea chose Gomer. Are you with me? Are you with me? Hey. Praise the Lord. So, God choosing a spouse for people wasn't a common practice in the Bible. All the heroes of faith, did God choose a wife for David? Moses? Elijah? Elisha? All the heroes of faith. The only biblical precedent that we have that God will choose a wife or choose a husband for you is Adam. And even that, if you look at it closely, is not exactly the way we think. We just think God looked at Adam and said, you know what? I will give you a wife. Yes. Just slammed Eve on him. But don't you think it is something to consider that God just told Adam in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, have dominion, and the first major choice Adam was supposed to make, God will make it for him. Please, are you with me? If God said to Adam, you will have dominion, why is he now choosing a wife for Adam? So let's go and read what exactly happened. And if you understand what really happened, you will now discover that for most people, God has already been orchestrating their partner towards them. It's just that they are looking for it in a spectacular way, but God is doing it more supernaturally. Let me show you what happened. Genesis chapter 1. Sorry, chapter 2, please. You know, I was talking to a man of God. See, he's not married. He's quite my senior. And I was asking him, sir, why are you not married? You are 40 something. I said, is that you want to be a celibate? If it's that, no problem. He said, I don't want to be a celibate. Why have you not? He said, there is a kind of girl I'm looking for. I said, okay. What kind of girl? He says, she has to be approved of the Lord. I said, okay. You know what God did? While I was talking to him, my prophetic gifts activated. I saw a lady that attends his church. I described this lady from head to toe. From head to toe, described her. He just said, man of God, woli. You remember what woli means? What? Prophet. He said, woli, oh. I said, God is telling me this lady. He started explaining to me that I said, okay, so what about this lady? He said, actually, she's the one he considered, but it's just that it's too natural. Who is the lady to him? God blessed him with an amazing ministry in the U.S. And this lady just joined the church. And you know when God opens the heart of somebody towards you? She joined the church, began to support him. See, by her presence, both his life and the life of the ministry multiplied that times 50. So,
The lady has even confided with some of the leaders that she just knows that God has given her an assignment to serve him. So I called him. Is the lady not fine? He says she's fine. So what is the problem? His own problem is that Jesus has not appeared to him. Character she has. Everything she has. His own problem is that please, are you listening to what I'm saying? Why have you not spoken? He's like, I'm still waiting for something. You are 40 something. And you are still waiting for something. So let's see what happened. Genesis 2 from verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Everybody, verse 19. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he will call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. What is going on here? How can God say it is not good for the man to be alone and God begins to make animals? Is that a contradiction? No. What was happening was that God saw that it was not good for the man to be alone and God began to set in motion a scenario that will make man also come to the same conclusion. It's not good for me to also be alone. Are you with me? So imagine you were Adam and you may not have taken the subject of getting married or having a wife serious, and now God begins to bring animals, tiger, tigress, lion, lioness. After a while, you begin to notice, it's true. The animals have male and female. Male and female. Male and female. Where is my own male and female? Are you with me? So God was orchestrating a scenario to bring the man to the point where he discovers that I need a partner. In the same way, in your life, when it's time for you to get married, God will be orchestrating those scenarios. After a while, as a man, you'll be like, no, something is wrong. I need to settle down. And from that period, God begins to orchestrate people around you. You will begin to see God's arrangement around you. Also, you have to be watchful too, because don't laugh for what I want to say. Don't laugh. When God wanted to bring a wife to Adam, it was animals that came first. I'm just trying to say, when you realize that it's time to get married, don't just jump into anybody that comes around. If he be an animal, and this applies both to male and female. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, if the Bible is true, we see that this same scenario plays out in all the lives of all the men God used. Sometimes people are saying, God, show me my wife, show me my wife. Actually, for the men, it's the men I need to talk to. Show me my, but she's around. She's not far. I remember talking to my mom years ago about this story of marriage. My mom said something. She said, usually, when it is time for a man to get married, his wife is not far away from him. The person that God wants you to settle down with, by the time you are beginning to think about it, is not far away. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes you see two people, they have built friendship. They are doing everything a married couple will do except sleeping with each other. She knows your itinerary. She knows she's literally running your life for you. Are you with me? He knows everything that is going on in your life. Hi, God. You know what you do for me? Say after me, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of
Jesus. We receive the multitudes. In their thousands, in their hundreds of thousands, in their millions, men from all over the world will troop to New Breed to receive direction. Amen. She's running your life for you. She that's why I used to tell ladies, when you are helping him, you know how to arrange soup and stew for him, you arrange it and keep it in his fridge. When you have done that for 3 months, 4 months, and he's not saying anything, leave him alone. Just leave him. Just disappear. Let sense fall upon him in Jesus' name. She's literally, she understands everything. See, that person, that has become your friend and is already working with you, two of you have already found a way to work together. That is more the wife than some stranger that you are waiting for somewhere to fall from the sky. Same too for the ladies. The man has already helped you. Two of you have already built something together. It is already going. That is more of your husband than the man you are waiting to fall from the sky. You are waiting for a mix of 3DJ, Johnny Bravo, and Eddie Murphy mixed in one. And then with a sprinkle of Pastor David. Let me even say it here. Those of you that compare your husbands or the person you are dating to your pastor, is a bad thing. You know, it's not a church you want to start. It's a home you want to build. Now I'm feeling like I wish I preached on Sunday, where all of us do everywhere is full. But no, it's important we say this here. Amen. God has a different plan for Sunday. Praise the Lord. Look at the scenarios in your life. There are some people, their own is even bad. God has, you know, I was talking to a guy. I asked him, so what about your marital? He said, actually, God has shown him the lady. I said, okay. Have you prayed about it? He said, I prayed about it. I said, have you talked to her? He said, you know. I told him, they will soon invite you for a wedding. No, keep on. They will soon invite you. They will soon invite you. I've seen cases where I asked the guy, when will you marry this girl? He talked left, he talked right. One day he told me, actually, we are not really dating. We are just very close. You see what I was talking about on Sunday? We are just very close. We are just very close. We are just very close. Then the girl started dating another guy. The day the girl started dating the other guy, I saw the other one crying. So I called him. I think you said you did not like this girl, that you are just friends. Why are you crying now? He said, Pastor, I don't know. Pastor, I don't know. Why are you angry now? Of course, I'm not saying that you should just run off with anybody that shows up in your path. Maybe there may be other reasons. Maybe there may be red flags and all that. God help us in Jesus' name. Number 4, under God said, please, your pastor is not supposed to choose your spouse for you. There is no biblical precedence for your pastor to choose a spouse for you. Those of you who, my God, I know it doesn't happen in New Breed, but I'm talking because the Lord has been telling me, preach like you are preaching to the whole world, preach like you are preaching to the entire body of Christ. So I'm talking to people that will listen to this message later. Any pastor that says, oh, you must go and marry this person, and you say, actually, I don't feel, then he says, the Lord has told me. No, that's not right. There's no biblical teaching on that. A pastor can tell you, I'm a little bit bothered about this, your choice. And then you say, okay, I will consider it, I will pray about it. But to force you to marry somebody, that's not the job of a pastor. Please, are you with me? Are you with me? Now, there is another extreme. There are people who don't even listen to any form of godly counsel at all. They don't want anybody to talk to them. When everybody is seeing a red banner,
You are wrapped in red cloth, red flags everywhere, and people are trying to talk to you, and you are like, no, 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 nobody will talk to me. And then two of you want to elope. You don't want to listen to anybody. That's a dangerous place to be. So there's one extreme of not listening to anybody, and there's another extreme of trying to allow people choose for you. See, in the New Testament, thank God the gift of the Spirit is not for the clergy alone. Thank God that the gift of the Spirit is for every believer. Joel chapter 2 verse 28 says, in the last day I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Your sons and others will prophesy. So, it's not just the pastor that will prophesy. Everyone in God's church, in the New Testament church, ought to prophesy. Are you with me? You can receive from the Holy Ghost. So, whatever your pastor is telling you, ought to be a confirmation of what God has already told you. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is important too. I am teaching these things because you will need them sooner or later. I have seen people and I asked them, why did you choose this person? They said, the prophet in our church told me this is. Some of them have even seen funny cases. Why did you break up? Say, the prophets gave us a word that God is not in this marriage. Did God give you a word? Is it that there were red flags that you saw? Was there something that God was trying to tell you? No, nothing. They just wake up and went their separate ways. Because some people, see, may God help us in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I've seen painful cases. You know, I said I've been born again and following the Lord for 20 years. And when I said 20 years, I'm not saying I was attending church. I mean, I was inside. I was serious. I was born again, hearing God, praying the Spirit. So I've seen many things. God gives you a good spouse that is not in this church, especially for the ladies, and you have to join your husband, we'll release you to go. No, we'll release you to go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The way everywhere is quiet. Did I find your trouble? So let me read out what I wrote here. You are allowed to marry someone you are attracted to, someone who inspires you, and someone who you will be delighted to spend the rest of your life with. As long as every other thing aligns. And so, I'm going to shift and talk about some of the things that should align before getting married to someone, before choosing a spouse. Are you with me? So it is true that God will orchestrate your steps to meet some people and all that and all that. But there are some things you should check for. Amen. Amen. Oh.
Yeah.
There are some things you should check for. Please, if you're not paying attention before, pay attention here. Number one, your core values. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says, be not unequally looked. You know what? Let's read it. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go.
Be not unequally yoked together with
unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? See, our sisters, please, you cannot marry a Muslim. No matter how nice he is, even if he's the son of Alhaji, you cannot marry a Muslim. I will change him. You are not God. You cannot change him. You cannot change anybody. Please, are you hearing what I'm saying? Dear brother, you cannot marry Nicki Minaj. Pastor David is finding trouble. Abby, that bad girl that you like, leave her first. Lead her to Christ. Let her change. Don't put marriage as the reward you will give to her as a result of her changing. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes,
allow the person to change in God, and if God sovereignly connects both of you together again, glory to his name. Praise the Lord.
core values. See, I have so much experience to talk about. I don't even know. Do you know why this is important? Even people who are born again, both of them are born again. They both go to church. They both speak in tongues, are having problems. How much more the child of the devil? So now you want to marry someone that's a child of Satan? That means Satan will be your father-in-law or your... I know I may be sounding insensitive. Pastor is a nice guy. Pastor is so caring. Pastor is so loving. Listen, a child of the devil is a child of the devil. You must have the same core values. You must have the same view on faith. See, you must even have the same view on doctrine. These are the things you should be checking for in courtship. Are you with me? These are the things you'll be checking for when dating. Not just eating shawarma and Greek yogurt. And give me the names of those things now. Parfait. And all of that and all of that. These are the things you'll be checking for. Do our faith and conviction align? Praise the Lord. Check out for things like, does he have integrity? Hey, my God. Does he have integrity? Is he trustworthy? Is he worthy of your trust? Is she worthy of your trust? On both sides, both as the man, both as the lady, is she or is he worthy of your trust? Does he have integrity? You know, on Sunday, I was going to talk about accountability much more, but we didn't have much time to cover everything. One of the reasons why you need to ask the people that you are submitted to about the person you want to marry is because they may know things you don't know. You know, there was a time years ago. My God. Oloru, save your children. There was a time a lady wanted to marry a guy. And I don't know. Some people just feel like pastor, they don't like to tell pastor because they feel like pastor will spoil their show. But this lady, she was compelled. Let me go and see Pastor David and tell him about the guy I want to marry. So she came and told me that, oh, pastor, there's this guy that has been asking me out. This, he likes me. This. I said, okay. What is his name? As he mentioned the name, I shook like this. You know why I shook? She does not know, that young man had brought another girl to me that he wants to marry 3 months before that. So I said, are you sure this? I said, please say the name again. Are you sure this person is the person you are mentioning to me? She was like, is this person? I'm like, wait. So I had to check the phone number of the guy that has been disturbing her. Is this exact same phone number? So Anna felt like, why is he doing this? You already have a lady that you are going to see her parents. That you want to get married to her. Why are you asking out another lady? Why? Guess what? It has happened twice in our church. You know what I did? I now called one of our pastors. So that it's not only me. I called on the pastor. I said, come and look at this. I said, don't you know this brother? We are aware that this brother wants to supposed to marry this girl, Abby. Why is he asking this other sister out? We have seen cases where a brother, he has presented a lady to church leadership. But in the church, he has 5 other ladies he has asked out. So what does he want to do with them? Before you know it, in the church I grew up in, I've shared that story before. I think I've told you. Something happened. The church I grew up in, a brother was ready to marry. And he was doing that rubbish. Is it double dating they call it? Dating 2 sisters, and the 2 sisters were in the choir. And this guy was also so smart, the both of them did not know. So, one of them, her mother is into cake making.
Heavenly Lord, your name is wonderful. Your name is.
And the bad part was he has started sleeping with both of them. So he has promised this one marriage and they started having sex. He has promised this one marriage, they have started having sex. Which Christians, see, I don't know. The Bible says marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled. Please, I beg you. If it has happened before, let it not happen again. Are you with me? Today is not the day to talk about the dangers of that, but amen. We got that right. So they have begun to set wedding dates. So the mother of this girl said, okay, my friend makes cake. Let me go to her shop and tell her that my daughter wants to get married. And she went to the her friend's shop. Said, please, ma, my daughter is getting married. The marriage is in 2 months' time. And I just came to tell you that we are going to book a cake down. It's going to be a big cake. It's going to be like, say, ah, who is the lucky brother now? Who is this lucky man that is collecting our daughter? By the time picture came out, he says it's a lie. It cannot be him. Her face changed. He has been coming to our house now. Ah, what do you mean coming to your house? This is the guy that is also dating my daughter. As we're midweek service like this, we're in service like this. Eh? As they were sharing the grace, you know, there, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I remember those days, our church used to be like a 5,000-seater church, and the choir used to be on, you know, those cathedrals where the choir is on the stage. The sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now forevermore. Amen. As we open our eyes, we just hear, boom! Two sisters are there fighting on top the altar, but on the choir side. Sister opened her eyes and saw stars. You took my man from me. That was what they were saying on the stage. Choir directors are there settling fights. He said, I will kill her today. I will kill her today. Ba, 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 ba. Will I say fortunately or unfortunately? The young man was not in church. He was not in church. That was the day the bishop came and announced, from today henceforth, the choir will no longer sit on the stage. They are not worthy to sit on the stage. Sha, will I say I don't blame the... I blame the guy and I blame the girl. The guy was a fine guy. Sunday, they called choir meeting, everybody gathered after service. We kept us in church. Service closed by 12. We're in church till 8 p.m. They were still preaching and praying. We cried for repentance. Even us that nothing concerned us, we cried to God for mercy. Cried. Eh? Finally, the guy showed up. Fresh guy. The annoying part is the part that got me annoyed. I just told myself, I forgive him in advance. You know the annoying part? Eventually, he did not marry any of those girls. Integrity. Open your eye. Tell your neighbor, open your eye. Trustworthiness. And then, still under core values, emotional maturity. How does he act when he's angry? How does he respond to conflict? See, as important as love is in marriage, love does not fix fundamental differences. So, in fact, marriage amplifies everything that you do not fix. Are you with me? Marriage amplifies everything you do not fix. The second thing under key considerations is character, and I've talked about it a little bit. When you marry a person, what you are truly getting married to is their character. Their character. Their character. You have to be honest with yourself. See, can I live with this person? Can I live with this person's character? You should know what are deal breakers for you.
For instance, you know, they were doing, she's a 10, but she cannot cook. I know I commented on that thing that if she cannot cook, I'm running away, but well, me, can I cook? I believe cooking can be learned. It's not a deal breaker for me. Oh. It's not a deal breaker for me. Praise the Lord. Uh-huh. Thank God my wife can cook. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But there are some things. Can you forgive? There are some things that are deal breakers for me. Instability. Hey, Jesus. Where I cannot predict what you will do. I will run. Disappear. A big man of God in this country was talking about the lady he got married to. How that when they were dating, he said something that made her angry, and then she just cleared all the plates on the table. In my mind, I was like, and you were still there. You were there. I mean, the lady now has become his. Two of them are doing the work of the Lord, and she's a perfect woman now. I said, that's why God gave you. It's you that have the grace. Me, as you are clearing the table, I will clear. Praise the Lord. Character. And there are simple things to just check for you to know how a person's character is. With time, you will just discover. Give the person some time. There are things that will come out in a person's character. Number two, how they treat others reveals their character too. He's so gentle, he's so loving. I was talking to a lady. She was telling me about how she had to decline a relationship because they went out for a date. This man was just spoiling her with gifts, spoiling her with... But she was married before, and in her previous marriage, the guy beat... The man used to beat her. Correct beating. Now, this other guy was coming around her, and he was well-to-do. The jeep, you know those kind of jeep that, you know... This is the doing of the Lord. Well, she said when she saw, she was like, oh my God, God, you have done it. They entered inside to eat. The waiter was delaying to bring the food. When he finally brought the food, his hand was shaking like this. His hand was shaking. He said, I'm the one that is paying, Abby. You will keep me here waiting. Hey. He said, she did not know when slap had moved. They had slapped the waiter. People had come and said, begging him, sorry, sir, sorry, sir, sorry, sir, sorry, sir. I was like, if you know of you, I'll give you. So she was now calming him down. Love, calm down. She said, honey, calm down. She said, don't worry. Because of you, just because of you. He did not know that as she was saying, he was like, I've seen all I need to see. She said, as if that was not enough, as they were driving, going back after the date, somebody almost ran into him and then stopped. This man came out, wanted to punch the person, and eventually punched the door. Hey. Let me tell you something. This we can laugh, but these are real issues. In the university, a boy and a girl were dating. Boy and girl, not married, they were dating. I cannot forget, Cornell University, they were dating. They had an argument in CDS building, College of Development Studies. In the porch, while they were talking, he punched the girl. The girl dodged. This guy hit the wall. His hand began to bleed. When I heard it, I called the girl. I said, auntie, hallelujah. What kind of anger is that? Then when he comes, I said, I don't know what took over me. That's the same thing that will take over you when you marry.
And also, how do you check people's character? Try and pay attention when the Holy Spirit is trying to get your attention. When the Holy Ghost is trying to get your attention. There are some things the Lord will be trying to open your eyes to see. Pay attention to this. Pay attention to that. And that's why even though God does not exactly choose for you, God will choose with you. God must choose with you. God must be involved in the process. Are you with me? Are you with me? So, now I want to talk about dealing with the issue of God said, you are my wife or you are my husband. You know, one of my sons asked me yesterday, say, they always say that it is God will speak to the man and say, you're my wife. What about when a lady comes up to you and say, you are my husband? I say, it's the same thing. Even if she dreams and says, God told me you are my husband, you too, God must tell me that you are you with me? That's what happened in the Bible. Mary had a revelation from God. An angel appeared and said this and said this and said this. I went and told Joseph. Joseph said, I've heard you. In the night, God came and told Joseph, do not fear to take Mary. That means God can do connections like that, right? Yes, but if it is God, God will speak to the both parties involved. Hallelujah. So we've talked about that. We talked about core values, character. Number three, which I think is the most important. Well, is it the most important? One of the most important. Alignment in vision and life's direction. Amos 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except they be agreed? So, in choosing your partner, you have to look at the life direction. What way are you going? Can two of us go that same direction? You know, somebody can be good, but not good for you. I know people struggle to understand this thing, but I have explained it in so many ways. I have used chemistry to explain it before. You know, in chemistry, hydrogen with oxygen will produce H2O, water. Please, are you with me? But hydrogen with chlorine will produce an acid, hydrogen chloride. But that same chlorine is not a bad thing on its own. If you bring chlorine and sodium, you have sodium chloride, which is salt. So that means hydrogen and chlorine, bringing them together, will bring a dangerous acid. But if you separate them and give hydrogen to oxygen, you have water. Give chlorine to sodium, you have salt. And they can both work together in cooking your soup. Please, are you with me? But don't bring hydrogen and chlorine together. Somebody can be good, but not good for you. So let me give you a good example. Let's assume you believe that God has called you to be a missionary in the villages. In the villages of Nigeria. You believe that's your calling. And that's not a bad calling. If God has said that's what you should do it. And then you are not going after a lady who believes that you're supposed to be a lecturer in Stanford University. She wants to relocate to the U.S. How will it work? Then she now goes. You are in one village in Abuja. Or you are in Gosatoge. You are doing mission work there. Then you are talking on WhatsApp every day. After the while, people are not nice. One day like this, you will call, she will call, there will be no network. Because where you are, Wi-Fi does not have not yet reached there. After a while, the tension and the struggle will be so much. You will be struggling to be faithful to her because you will not, on that journey, you will now meet one other sister who also has the same call to the village too. Two of you will be sharing the burden together, doing the work of God together. She, while at Stanford, she will meet one classmate and also colleague in the office. And before you know, we are cheating on me. You are cheating. You will be cheating on. Every time you are scheduled. When you are preaching on crusade, that's when she's free. When you are free, she's back for a night shift in the office. How will it work? How will it work? Eh? So I'm not saying both of you should be doing have the exact same career path, but there must be a logical way it can work. Praise the Lord. There must be alignment in your life vision and direction. And also part of alignment in your vision and direction, the person must have faith in what you are doing. Oh God, no time to explain this one, but I'll try. Let's assume you are going to into fashion and you're not getting married to somebody that does not believe that there is a future there. Or you're going into music, you know that you're going to spend the most part of your life doing music. Don't marry somebody that does not believe that music has no future. Because even if they claim to support you, the way they will be acting, the things they will be saying, are you with me? Will consistently make that path that you are on unbearable for you. For instance, a person like me, if, you know, those days when I was in search, there are some questions I will ask. I'll ask simple questions like, what do you think about the gospel? What do you think about Jesus? I asked the lady that question. She you know what she told me? She said, Christianity is too fanatical. I liked how, but as she said it like this, every ounce of like inside of me, die by fire. Me that I know. Hey, God. Jesus boy like me. Hey, God. You know, somebody asked me one day, he said, what if something happens to New Breed and all the churches scatter? What will you do? I said, what I would do? Let me tell you what I would do. You would just see me on the streets evangelizing again. I will start evangelism again. In fact, I will become more rugged. You'll be seeing crusade back to back, week after week. Because now, in Idausa, this is to say those days, when they did not have so many leadership structure, there was no particular, they didn't have a church particularly, he would just go to some places, put buckets that can stack themselves on each other, carry a megaphone and start preaching. Alignment in vision and life direction. Number four, and maybe I'll round off from here. Number four, I'll jump some. Look at the way they handle finances, their financial wisdom and stewardship. We can't talk about this. That's a sermon of its own that we should have done, but we'll do it later. I call it matrimony. Matrimony. Financial wisdom and stewardship. If you are the kind of person that believes in saving and investing and planning, and you want to marry somebody who is a chronic spender, there will be problems. There will be problems. Are you with me? There will be problems. So you have to watch out for that. Look at their financial behavior. My God. I can't share all the stories, but just watch out for this. How can you be someone who believes in planning and you want to marry somebody who is willing to spend $200,000 on gambling, all those things? Their families. See, in my previous residence in Abuja, I was talking to one of my neighbor, and she was telling me how her friend walked out of her marriage. And I was like, why? She said, see, husband. Jesus. He went to where they were playing bets. At the bet shop, burnt 7 million naira savings of the family. Borrowed money. It's like a spirit. Borrowed money to go and play bets. Children's school fees on bets. House rent on bets. And then, the person he borrowed money from, now, he did not involve his wife. He did not tell his wife about all these things. See, you want to get married? This person must be transparent enough to be able to say, see, I have debt, so Not the one that, just imagine, God forbid, just imagine, you are in the house, you, your husband, your children, you are just watching TV, having a nice time, and then you hear, go, 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 go. Open this door, and then you see policemen walking to the house, and you see people with documents. You took a loan of 10 million naira. So that means this house, since you're not been able to pay your loan, you gave this house as collateral. This house has been hereby seized. Just imagine you are a wife. You are looking at your husband like this. From where to where? To pay back the debts. Do you know what this man had to do? He sold their only car and started trekking. The woman said, I cannot take it again. That he has done it before. I cannot take it again. I am not doing again. Packed her things and left. Your financial behavior. Check their financial behavior. Praise the Lord. And see, if you are listening to me, and you have such financial tendencies, they are broken in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me even warn again. Those of you that take loans from all those loan sharks. Then, see, let me tell you what I know. Those apps are evil. They are wicked. They are devilish. How can someone borrow 500,000 and pay back 5 million? I've seen it happen. Their interest rates, dangerous. It increases per day as the day is going, it's increasing. And I know people who have taken those things. Before you know, they will now be threatening you. We will send your pictures. They will be threatening you. They will be calling you. You know, I'm a pastor, so. I've received strange calls. Hey, they will say, hey, are you the vlogger number? Call your member. Call your cousin. They will be calling my name. Tell him to pay back this money or else. I'm like, what is this? I get those type of text messages. Actually, they have stopped. In the last 2 years, I have not seen. It was when we started years ago. All our members have changed now. Now, glory! Well, new members are coming and we are expanding. That's why I will not give them a number. People don't know. Some reasons why some pastors have some protocol is because, do you know what we've seen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Finally, for today, check your medical and health history. Now, this is not something that you should bring up at the beginning stages of a relationship. Please, are you with me? I feel it is insensitive to meet someone and in the next 1 month you're already asking the person, what's your genotype? What's your... But when things become serious, are you getting me? When you see that this love is becoming serious, this thing is becoming, learn to ask, what is, can you tell me a little bit about your, in fact, a good time to ask is when the person falls sick. Say, I'm just feeling somehow. Do you fall sick like this? You check, let them talk, and you to be open, be upfront. Have you had a surgery before? Talk about it. And I say, I've been in church. You all young man, if you use your to do something, tell Taco. There are some men, when they were in school, they used their private part for initiation in courts. They said for you to be hitman, you will cut your something and drop. They cut it, drop. Later, when they repented, they now went and married sister. They did not tell her that they're eunuch. I say, we're in church. They did wedding. We did wedding in church years ago. We danced. We everybody went to the house. Sunday morning, the woman was in church standing like this with ring. I say we have seen something. So church elders were asking her, what are you doing here? Why are you carrying ring? He said, that man did not tell me he did not have any manhood. I found out. Because if a man, he would try and touch me. I was the one trying to touch him. And he was not responding. When he slept, she pulled it. She put it and started shouting, Jesus, 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 in the night. Started shouting, Jesus, Jesus. She was like, hey, hey, what, you now woke up and did like this? He said, I'm sorry, I didn't want to tell you. It's better you tell. See, the Bible says, and they were both naked and not ashamed, right? It's better. Anybody that cannot handle your past cannot handle your future. Have you had abortions in the past? Tell him. Do you have children in the past? Tell him.
Yes, sir.
Are you with me? You should talk about your past relationship, past whatever, past, talk about everything.
Praise the Lord.
And finally, after health history, pray. See, what I want to say now, even though you marry the right person, do you know that the right person today may not be the right person in the next 10 years? In fact, let me put it like this. The person you got married to is not the person you spend the rest of your life with. Don't let your mind run. I am saying that life will happen and your partner will change. There will be growth changes, and even if the person does not do anything to change, just keep on living. Do you know that pregnancy can change a woman? Do you know that life challenges can change a man? He must have been the nicest person, the loveliest person, and then God forbid he faces a major financial downturn. Something just hits him. Boom. There are some men that when they go through the hard times, they start saying their wife was a witch. That it was the woman that, have you not seen things like that? That it was when they married this woman that they are like, you know what's happening? It was not the woman, sir. It's just that they face challenge. They face the pressure that rewired him. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So eventually, as you make all the, do all everything right, make sure you pray that God will guide you. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
You have to pray. Because there may be more things that you are not even seeing. You have to pray. Pray. And this is why, as a Christian, yes, God does not choose for you, but God must choose with you. Let the Lord see anything the Lord is showing you, pay attention to it. Pray about it. Pray. Pray. Say, God, I like this girl. Everything looks nice. I like this man. Everything looks nice. But Lord, what are you saying? Lord, if there is anything I should know, show it to me. Many times before you even pray like that, God will even start talking. If it will not work, if there will be problems in the future, was it not last year, Living and Cleaving Conference, the man of God we brought, that was at Port Harcourt, told a story of a lady that was a prayerful. You know this thing, you cannot even use anything physical to judge. It's not even that, oh, she's very prayerful, he's very prayerful, she was the leader of the prayer band in church. Some people know who used to tie their hair. Bam. 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 Long. This thing. But when she gets angry, she'll be charging at him. So one day in the house, he doesn't know what he said. He said something. The lady was angry. Then lady nurse looked at him and said, do you know who I am? Do you really know? I'm not telling you a fairy tale. It happened at East West Road, Port Harcourt. Do you know who I am? See, if you try me in this house, she was warning him.
if you try me. He was like, what do you want to do? In the man's presence, she turned to a serpent. She turned to a snake. The man passed out. The man fainted. Fainted like this. No. When he woke up, she was back to a human being. She said, God just saved you, that did not kill you here. So the man, he was a very wise man. He didn't fight. He didn't do anything. She went out. My guy just carried his slippers and ran away. He ran straight to the church. Ran straight to the district superintendent and said, sir, I'm not doing again. Then the man was there speaking theology. He said, you know, in this church, we don't permit divorce. You know, in this church, we don't, you know, God hates divorce. Man say, I cannot tell you what I saw. So my question is, how did he marry? Didn't he have the Holy Ghost? Where was his prayer life? Where was his work with God? Jump on your feet. Chapter me in the name of Jesus. Now, this prayer, the only single people are going to pray this prayer. Then married people will pray your own, give your own letter. In the name of Jesus, I will marry well. In the name of Jesus, I will marry well. In the name of Jesus, I make the right choice in marriage. My marriage will glorify God. Can you begin to pray right now? We talked about choosing with God, praying. We have talked about it. We talked about health and general well-being. We talked about character, core values. It is obvious we are not able to finish in a service, but Lord, you will finish and perfect your work in their lives. So rabaka sete ki palatos ketelia. Sheka baraka sote ketelia. Shekete pele ketelia. Lika baragado se ketelia. Sheka raba se ketelia. Lord, we pray using that everyone has a point of contact to every member of New Breed. You will marry well. Your homes are beautiful homes. God is raising beautiful homes. Lord, they will not wander in confusion when you have already given them their partners. They will not wander in confusion when you have already positioned their partners around them. In the name of Jesus. Mandarabaka seketeli kataya. Shekebedebelege shekete. Mendegebeleke sefrakapande kepo satalia. Mendegebelege sheketelia. Mendegebelege sekete. Shigabaragabalate. Mandelebereke sete. Shembrekete setelia. Thank you, Father. Lord, also for every wounded heart, every heart that is somehow looking for succor in the area of love, marriage, relationships, dating, Lord, let them be comforted in the name of Jesus. Let every wounded heart be healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray that if any of such people are still interested in getting married, Lord, connect them to their partners. Connect them to their partners in Jesus' mighty name. And Lord, we decree from Newbury Christian Community, you are raising stalwart homes in the name of Jesus. You are raising stalwart homes in the name of Jesus. You are raising solid homes in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name.